dedicated to Chaya Risha Bas Avram Yitzchak. Ma, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, wonderful. So,
Amen.
The neshama should have an aliyah, and Yemirtz Hashem, this year should be a schus for her and for all of her children and grandchildren and great grandchildren, and now great grandchildren. Okay. So the Mishnah, the Gemara Maseches Shabbos relates a story that had taken place between a tzaduki and Rava. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos, again in Daf Pei Ches, Amud Aleph, tells us as follows. Hahu mina dechazio l'Rava dekama ayin bishmaita. There was a tzaduki who saw Rava learning a Talmudical topic, v'yasva etz ba'asa diyade tose kara. And Rava, who was so engrossed in his studies, had put the fingers of his hands under his leg. V'kamayayetzbehu, and he was crushing them. V'kamabon etzba'ase dima, and his fingers were pouring out with blood. Amar lei, the tzaduki said to Rava, Ama piziza dikadmiso pumaychu l'udnaychu? Oh, you impulsive people who put their mouths before their ears. Akati bepachuzasaychu kamaisu. You still persevere in your impulsiveness. Beresha iboiluhu l'machshme. First, you should have heard the commandments so that you would have known what they were. Imatsisu kablisu, whether you were able to accept them. Ve'ilo, and if not, lo kabilsu, you would have not accepted them. Essentially, this dialogue between the tzaduki and Rava is a theological machlokes between the tzaduki, who does not believe in the Torah Sheba'al Peh, does not believe in the Oral Torah, versus Rava, who obviously believes in the Torah Sheba'al Peh and the Torah Shebichsav. So comes along this tzaduki and tells Rava, look at you, you're there studying, you're there engrossed in your learning. You're so impulsive that your fingers are bleeding. You don't even recognize what you're doing. How impulsive are you? The same person who is learning without understanding the nuances, without understanding what's his surroundings, what's going on around him, you clearly are a descendant of the people that were impulsive in saying Naseh V'Nishma, in accepting the Torah upon themselves. This is what the tzaduki had come and accosted Rava with. Now, the reason why this is very difficult to understand is because this statement, or this question that the tzaduki asked Rava, as to why were you so impulsive to accept the Torah Shebichsav, why were you so impulsive to say Naseh V'Nishma, that's not the position of the tzaduki. The position of the tzaduki is that they believe in Torah Shebichsav, but don't believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh. After all, we all know in source number 2, the famous position of the tzaduki, Mavur b'mishno b'gemar menacho samichay amud aleph the kasaduki ubaitos, that the tzaduki ubaitos ain amodim lechachme Yisrael. They didn't agree with the position of the sages of Israel. Shechag hashavuos laolam is nun yom imacharas yom rishon shel chag hamatzos. The chag hashavuos always takes place from the day after Yom Tov, and 50 days later. Shechachme Yisrael Omrim Shema Shekasuv B'Torah Akdosha, that that which the Torah says, Usvartim Lachem Imacharas HaShabbos, that you begin counting from the day after Shabbos, we believe that that day after Shabbos is not referring to a Sunday, but rather it's referring to the day after Chag. V'heim Omrim, though they believe that the Shabbos over here is referring to Shabbos Breishis, and therefore you begin counting on a Sunday. According to us, we believe that Shavuos always is 50 days after Pesach, and according to the Tzeduki, because they don't believe in Torah Shebal Peh, they only believe in what is specifically written in Torah Shebichsav, they believe that it depends. Whenever it is, the 50 days after the last Sunday, the next Sunday, after Shavuos. But nonetheless, we see from this position, or this machlokas between the Chachamim and the Tzeduki, that the Chachamim believe in Torah Shebichsav, that which is written in the Torah, the written Torah, and that which is the oral Torah. The written Torah comes and tells us 50 days b'macharas HaShabbos. However, we have the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, which teaches us and allows us to believe that it means not the day after Sunday, the day after Shabbos, but it means the day after Shabbos, which is referring to Yom Tov. According to the Tzeduki believes that no, there's no Torah Shebal Peh. We don't believe in the authenticity of Torah Shebal Peh. Rather, all we believe is in Torah Shebichsav. And because it says, B'macharas HaShabbos, Shabbos to us, there's only one Shabbos. And that's Shabbos of Maaseh Breishis, which means that the day after Maaseh Breishis, the day after Shabbos, which is Sunday, is when you're going to begin counting for Shavuos. So if that's the case, that we already established and we know that the Tzaduki believed in Torah Shebichsav and not Torah Shebal Peh, then what was the Tzaduki's response, the Tzaduki's question on Rava, that why would you come and recite Naseh V'Nishma? Why were you so impulsive? Naseh V'Nishma was on Torah Shebichsav, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yeloch Elokim Achirim. It's the Aseres Adibros, it's that which was engraved in the Luchos. So what was the Tzeduki coming and propositioning Rava about? What did that have to do with? He was questioning him about Torah Shebichsav. The Tzeduki believes in Torah Shebichsav. That's question number one. Question number two. The Gemara Maseches Kedushin Daf Chof Tes Omid Beis tells us a very interesting halacha. He tells us, Tana Rabbanan, Hu Lilmod Ubeno Lilmod. There's only enough money to allow one of either father or child to go and learn. So the Tana Kama tells us, Hu Kodem Libno. He comes before his child because he has a responsibility, an obligation to learn Torah. And therefore, it's a mitzvah which is dependent upon himself to accomplish, to do, to perform. So he takes precedence. However, Yehuda says, it's not so simple. Im bino zariz umamulach v'talmudo miskayim b'yado. If his son is quick, he's sharp, he's diligent in his studies, and that which he learns, he's able to retain. So says Rabbi Yehuda, bino kodmo. That the son takes precedence, the son has a responsibility to learn even more so than his father, and therefore his father says, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to ensure that you go and learn Torah. And the Rambam codifies this lahalacha. The Rambam in source number 4 tells us, Hayahu rotze lilmo Torah v'yeshlo ben lilmo Torah. That if he wants to learn and he also has a son who as well wants to learn, and all there is enough money to provide or to support one of them, so according to the Rambam says, Hu kodim libno. He takes precedence over his son. However, he combines also the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, Vimhaya bino navon umaskil lahavin mashil yilmod yoser mimenu. But if the child is wise and he has seichel, he has wisdom far beyond that which the father is capable of, so then if that's the case, Paskins the Rambam like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda Bino Kodem. The son has Kadimos, the son takes precedence. So the obvious question that one has to ask is based upon that psak is why? Where do we ever see that just because a person is more wise, he's brighter. That person has precedence or takes precedence over another person when it comes to learning Torah. What about the Rambam himself who says, Kol mi sheyirtze, whoever wants, Yavo v'yitol, should come and take it. When do we care about who's brighter, who's more wise, who's able to retain more information when it comes to learning Torah? And especially since there's a concept of mitzvah shebegufo, it's incumbent upon you to learn. The Torah obligates you to learn. You're obligated to learn Torah. Who cares whether or not you're more wise, less wise, more diligent, less diligent? What about the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives siyata d'shmaya, he gives divine assistance? When a person wants it, when a person really is interested and motivated to do it, where do we come to suggest that b'no navon u'maskil lahavin ma'sheyil no yoser, then the ben, the son, has precedence, takes the opportunity to learn at the expense of his father? The father has an obligation to learn. It's a mitzvah shebegufo. Just like if a father has, if there's one pair of tefillin, chayecha kodmin, the father takes the pair of tefillin, not the child. Chayecha kodmin, it's a mitzvah that's tali. If you have the mitzvah, it's your tefillin, you wear it. But yet when we see by Talmud Torah, the Talmud Torah is different. Why would that be the case? Amai b'no kodmin, ha'am rinan, dehu l'ilmo b'no l'ilmod, hu kodmin b'no. Like any mitzvah in the Torah, that it's a mitzvah that's tali b'gufo, so you come and you take it. Third question. The Gemara Maseches Yevamos tells us that there were 12,000 zugim talmidim hayulo l'Rabbi Akiva. There were 12,000 pairs of talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. 24,000 talmidim. Megivas ad Antipors. Bekulon mesu beperek echad. And they all died in one time period between Pesach and Shavuos. But they shalom nagu kavod zelazeh, because they didn't treat each other with dignity and honor. V'hoya ha'olam shemam, and the world was void. Ad Shabba Rabbi Akiva etzel rabosenu shebedarom v'shan olehem, and he taught a new group, a new set of talmidim. What about the Gemara that teaches us that if a person comes and learns Torah, that he'll be taken care of? What about the Gemara Maseches Kedushin that tells us the samtem? The samtem means a samtam. Nimshala Torah kisam chayim. That the Torah is compared to a life-giving medicine. Mashala adam shehikas beno maka gedola. Analogous to a person that hit his son, a devastating wound, and he placed a compress upon this wound, and said to his son, all the while that this compress is on your wound, you can eat what you want, you can drink what you want, you can bathe, bein bechamin, bein betzonein, ve'ein ato misyare, you don't have to be worried. So too says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yisrael, Bini, my child, Barasi Yitzhahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. I've created the Torah, I've created the Yitzhahara, I've created the Torah as an antidote. You can do what you want, you can eat what you want, you can drink what you want, you do whatever you want. As long as you're engaged in Torah, you're going to be okay. Well, if that's the case, the Torah doesn't tell us that they weren't learning Torah. The Gemara doesn't tell us they weren't learning. The Gemara says they were not treating each other with respect and dignity. What about this idea, as long as you're learning Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you. You're not going to have to worry about the Yetzirah. You're not going to have to worry about the Malach HaMaves. What about this idea of the Torah being the ultimate protector for man? What about the Sam Chayim? It's the medicine of life. Why was this Torah not able to protect the 12,000 pairs of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva? Very, very difficult to digest. And the last question. The Gemara Maseches Nedarim comes and tells us. It's a fascinating Gemara. It's an unbelievable Gemara that takes a tremendous amount of Yishuv Hadas to try to understand what's going on. But nonetheless, the Gemara tells us. Mi ha'ish hechacham v'yavin ezos. That who's the man who's wise and has insight into this matter? Referring to why was it that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed? Initially, Chachamim leNeviim, and this question was asked to the Chachamim and to the Neviim, the wise men and the prophets, below Pirshu, and they weren't able to know. They didn't have an insight. They didn't have an idea as to why it was destroyed. At Shapirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself came and explained it. And it says, Dichsiv, it's written, Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Al Ozvam es Torasi, because of their forsaking of my Torah. And the Ran comments on this Gemara, explaining what does that mean, Al Ozvam es Torasi, that they forsake my Torah. So comes along the Ran and tells us that it doesn't mean, Al Ozvam es Torasi, Kipashba Mashma, it doesn't mean literally, that they forsake my Torah, sha'azu es ha'Torah v'lohayu asukin ba, that they weren't delving into it. That can't be it, because if that was the case, it was goloi hoya v'kal lefarish. Everyone could see whether people were learning. If the Beis Medrash was empty, so it was known that people weren't learning Torah. So it had to be something a little bit more complex, a little bit more discreet. Elavadai oskin hayu batorah tamid, but rather they were always engaging in Torah. Ulafika hayu chacham munavim, they were perplexed to mayim. Alma abda haaretz, why did the land forsake us? At shepirshu hakadosh baruch hu, until hakadosh baruch hu himself explained ba'atzmo shehu yodea, because he understood me'amke halei, from the depths of a person's heart, shelohayu mevarchin batorah tchila, that they did not make a birchas hatorah before they came to learn. Meaning to say, what does that mean? What's the significance of not making a birchas hatorah? Meaning to say, shelohaisa hatorah chashuva beinechem, that the Torah was not precious in their eyes. To the point that they felt it was necessary to make a birchas haTorah. Meaning, says Rabbeinu Yonah, Shalohayu oskim ba lishma, that they weren't learning Torah lishma, l'shem shemayim, for the sake of Torah itself. Umitoch kach, hayu mizalzulim bebirchasa. Because they weren't learning Torah lishma, they weren't learning it for the sake of Hashem. They didn't make a birchas haTorah. When a person makes a birchas haTorah, he has the proper kavana, the proper intent. He puts into context what he's doing. When a person makes a birchas haTorah, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is your Torah. I'm learning it for you. This is your Torah. The Torah that was given on Mount Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu. And now I'm delving into it. But because Klal Yisrael didn't feel the need to make a birchas haTorah, they weren't learning Torah for the sake of Torah itself. They were mezalzelin bibirchasa, v'haynu lo holchuba, meaning bekavonaso lishma, that did not learn Torah with the proper intent and the proper lishma, the proper kavona. Also very difficult to digest, because we know the Gemara Maseches Psachim. The Gemara in Pseches Psachim tells us, the Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, La'olam yasok adam b'torah b'mitzvos, that a person should always, always engage in Torah and mitzvos, afo pi shelo lishma, even if it is not l'shem Hashem, shemitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. Because even by doing it shelo lishma, for some other reason, you have a different agenda, but the assumption is shelo lishma, even for not the best purposes, not the greatest kavana, but ultimately it will come, the intent will come, the lishma will come. There's a saying, something is better than nothing. And indeed, in this case, according to this Gemara Maseches Psachim, something is better than nothing. Because ultimately, if you do it enough times, you'll start to question, why exactly am I doing this? There must be a reason, a good reason. There must be a reason, there must be something deeper to the Torah than me just opening it up and just learning it for some other purpose. Now he's going to come to an epiphany, he's going to recognize and appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, He created the world, and He created the world just so that Klal Yisrael should accept the Torah upon themselves. Now when I daven, and now when I learn, it's going to be Lishma, Lishem Shemayim, the Torah is going to mean something. I'm going to come and make a Birkas HaTorah. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give Klal Yisrael that opportunity to rectify their ways. But rather, because they didn't do it, Lishma Al-Mabda Ha'aretz, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Why was Klal Yisrael kicked out of the land? Because they didn't make a Birchas HaTorah, which meant that they didn't come to learn Torah Hashem Lishma. What about Shalom Lishma Ba Lishma? Very difficult to digest. So the Avi Ezri explains that there's two types of ideas as to how we understand Lishma. There's a lishma, shalom lishma, ba lishma, and that's talking about alts yediyas haTorah. There's a concept of mechudadin bepicha. There's a concept that a person has to learn so much Torah that it's sharp, that when someone asks him a question, he's able to answer it. Shem yishalcha adam davar, when a person will ask, al tegamgein betomer lo, he won't stutter, he won't be confused, ela omer lo miyad, he's going to be able to address and answer it immediately. So when it comes to the idea of learning Torah, and perhaps I'm simply learning Torah to have a yediyas haTorah, I'm learning Torah so that I'll be able to answer questions, people come and ask me them. So that might not be lishma. That might not be for the proper reasons as to why I'm supposed to learn. But nonetheless, shelo lishma ba lishma. That's when we employ that idea of shelo lishma ba lishma. When a person is learning Torah takes great sacrifice and also great siyat d'shmaya. A person needs divine assistance to be able to understand and to know Torah. So even if a person is not learning it lishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nonetheless, because it will eventually come, shelo lishma ba lishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give this person assistance. He'll be matzliach, he'll be successful in his learning. He'll be able to accomplish that which he wants to accomplish. He'll be able to write svarim, he'll be able to answer people when they have questions on the ravchus, the wide-ranging halachas of Torah. But then there's another aspect of Torah. And that's the segulas haTorah. The segulas haTorah, says Rav Shach, it protects someone. It ensures that someone isn't harmed. There's a hidden aspect to the Torah. There's a segula, there's certain virtues that the Torah possesses, that when a person engages in that Torah, it protects him. It ensures that he doesn't come to danger. It ensures that he's able to live his life in peace and harmony and tranquility. It will ensure that he'll be able to remain in Eretz Yisrael, that he won't be kicked out of the land. The Torah will ensure that if he learns Torah Lishma, that the Beis HaMikdash won't be destroyed. So when we say Shalom Lishma, Ba Lishma, that's only out the Siyata Deshmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the divine assistance to have an expansive knowledge of Torah. That even if you're not doing a L'shem Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ensure that you have all the answers to the questions when people ask you those questions. you're going to be able to make a siyum on Shas. And you're going to know all the poskim. But when it comes to the segulas haTorah, when it comes to the Torah that protects and that ensures that there is harmony and tranquility and that Klal Yisrael is not kicked out and thrown out of the land and that the Beis HaMikdash is not destroyed, Shelo Lishma doesn't help. There is a Yediyas HaTorah which Shelo Lishma helps, and then there's the Segulas HaTorah, the hidden elements of Torah, the virtues of Torah, the schuyos, the merit of Torah, the protector, the Torah that protects. And that's the only time that the Torah can protect is if Torah is learnt lishma. And that perhaps is going to help us understand why it was that the Torah did not protect the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. I believe the reason why the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were not protected is because the Torah only protects someone who is learning Torah lishma, who's learning Torah for the right reasons. The Torah, the Gemara is telling us, Shalonagu kavod zeh bizeh, that they didn't treat each other with respect and dignity. That's not learning Torah lishma. So they might have gone through Shas, and they might have known poskim, they might have written many tshuvos, and been mechabri svarim, written sefer after sefer, and all the different chalakim of Shulchan Aruch and Shas. But that's not going to spare them and protect them from death. The Sam Chaim, the medicine of life that the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin was talking about, where there's that added element of the Segulas HaTorah, is the Torah that's learnt lishma. It's the Torah that's learnt with Derech Eretz. It's the Torah that's learnt with the mantra V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha zeh klal gadol b'Torah, the Segulas HaTorah. If a person wants to simply learn Torah without understanding that there's something beneath the Torah, that it's not just intellectual, it's not just about the Yediyas HaTorah, to know the Torah, but rather there's Segulas HaTorah, there's the Torah that protects us, that ensures that we're not kicked out of our land, that ensures that 12,000 pairs of Talmidim Rabbi Akiva aren't killed, aren't destroyed, we're not mourning over them. So that's that element of Torah that has to be lishma. If I want that protection, if I want the Segulas HaTorah, it has to be that I'm learning Torah because I recognize that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And if not, we might know the Torah, but we for sure will not have the Segulas HaTorah. Now, until this point, we've been able to define Segulas HaTorah as being Klal Yisrael's protector to ensure the physical existence of the Beis HaMikdash, the physical existence of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Until this point, we've understood Segulas HaTorah to be Klal Yisrael's physical protector to ensure a physical survival. However, there's another aspect to Segulas HaTorah. And that is that if we learn Torah lishma, then it also ensures the Segulas HaTorah midor lidor, from generation to generation. The Segulas HaTorah also ensures Jewish continuity. When a father teaches his child Torah, when a father ensures that a child is learning Torah, it ensures Jewish continuity, it ensures Jewish survival. To the point where in source number 13, the Kuntres Migdal David in Perek Aleph tells us that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is unlike any other mitzvah in the Torah, that any other mitzvah in the Torah, Chayecha Kodmin, I take precedence. If I have a pair of tefillin, and it's either me or my son putting it on, I have kadimus. But the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is different. If there's only one opportunity for us to learn, and my son is showing that he's going to ensure Jewish continuity, I give the opportunity for my child to learn. And by my child learning, unlike any other mitzvah, it's like I am Mikayim fulfilling the mitzvah itself. As he writes, that Dirak Belimud Bino, that only when it comes to the learning of Torah of my child, Shechiyuvo, Belimud Bino, Shabib Bimaloso Lelimud Atzmo, that when my child learns Torah, when my child is carrying on Jewish values, when he's ensuring Jewish survival, because it's only going to happen by the study of Torah. The study of Torah ensures the Kiyum HaMitzvos. When my child is learning, it's Shaveh B'Ma'aloso, it's equal in value to me learning myself. V'Al Kein, and therefore, Donim Bohem Mi'oser Mukshar. So therefore, we try to figure out who's more shayach, who's more capable to learn, who's going to be more successful. If I'm going to be more successful, then I learn. Because that's the way to ensure Jewish continuity. But if my son is going to ensure Jewish continuity, he takes precedence because that's as if I am learning Torah. When my child is learning, when my child is growing, when my child is developing, there's no greater segula, there's no greater virtue, there's no greater accolade, there's no greater, there's no greater mitzvah than for a father to ensure that the generations will continue. And that is precisely the way to be mekayim the mitzvah shebegufo. The way to fulfill my mitzvah of limud haTorah is to ensure that my son is learning. The Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron Kotler says the most amazing thing. It says in the Medrash, based upon a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Ko Amar Hashem El Beis Yaakov. This is what Hashem says to Beis Yaakov, Asher Podos Avram, that redeemed Avram. And the Medrash says, Avram Lo Nitzal Mikivshon Ha'esh Ela Bischus Yaakov, that Avram was only saved from the Kivshon Ha'esh, from the burning furnace, only in the merit of Yaakov. V'hine haru lanu chazal. And chazal teach us, says Rav Aaron Kotler, ki afshe be'avram hikir esboro, even though Avram was the one who recognized his creator, v'kayim kol hisrachula midaito, and everything, the entire Torah kula, was all based upon his ability to recognize and appreciate Hashem. Ki midaito es Hashem hikir es darchi Hashem ha'yisharim. It's through Avraham Avinu that everyone, the entire world, was able to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he was the one that fought Nimrod and fought the Chachamim and the Chartumim and the kings. And he was the one that created a tzura, a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And nonetheless, the Medrash tells us, Lo nitzal mikivshon ha'esh, that Avraham Avinu was not saved from the burning furnace that he was thrown into by Nimrod, only for the sake of Yaakov. Why is that the case? How do we understand that? Why? Says Reb Aaron, because it was Yaakov Avinu who set up a bias. The pasuk says, "Lochein ko omar Hashem el beiz Yaakov, asher podo es Avram." It's because Yaakov Avinu ensured Jewish perpetuity. It was Yaakov Avinu who built a family of ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Avram was an individual that gave it over to Yitzchak, that gave it over to Yaakov. And now Yaakov, born out of Yaakov, were the families of Am Yisrael, the future of Am Yisrael. V'hu shehekim bayis shel ma'aminim. He was the one who had set up a foundation of generations of believers. And that precisely is what the Torah tells us as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Avram. I've loved him because he commands his children and his household after him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Avram because it's going to be his children that are going to follow the ways of Hashem. And ultimately it was Yaakov, in the schus of Yaakov, the Beis Yaakov, that ultimately saved Avraham from the Kivshon Ha'esh, from the burning furnace. The Segulas HaTorah is the transmission of Torah from father to son, to the point where a son's learning takes precedence over a father's learning, because the son's learning ensures Jewish survival and Jewish continuity. That's the Segulas HaTorah. There isn't only the Segulas HaTorah that a person is spared and saved from annihilation, from physical destruction, but the Segulas HaTorah ensures Jewish survival, b'derech ruchni, in a spiritual sense as well. It's that Mesorah, it's that transmission from father to child, from father to child, from father to child, that ultimately ensures the survival of Am Yisrael. And that is how now we understand the Tzeduki. The Tzeduki had come to Rava and said, Rava, what were you doing? Why were you so impulsive that you were willing to accept upon yourself the Torah Shebichsav by saying Nasev and Nishma? And we had asked an obvious question. It's not my question. The Mefarshim asked the question. The commentaries asked the question. What was the Saduki's question on Rava? He had said, why did you accept the Torah Shebichsav? Wait a second. The Tzeduki believes in Torah Shebichsav. It's just that he doesn't believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh. And I want to suggest that if you don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, it's impossible to believe in Torah Shebichsav. And let me explain. The Pachad Yitzchak explains beautifully in his letters, in his Igros Uksavim. And he says that there's a concept, we know that there's a halacha, there's the Kriya Shema, and the Kriya Shema are psukim that are written in the Torah, V'ahavta Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. That's the Torah Shebichsav. But the brachos of Kriya Shema that are said before and after. So at the end of the Birchas Kriya Shema, we say, Aleinu v'al bonenu v'al dorasenu v'al kol dora zera Yisrael avdecha. Upon you and on your children and on the future generations and all the generations of Zera Yisrael avdecha, your servants. So asks Rav Huttner, there's no mention at all of anything to do with Aleinu al bonenu v'al dorasenu in the Kriya Shema. So then why in the Birchos Kriya Shema? Why is there mention now of the Doros and Doros Doros of Zera Yisrael Abadecha? So Rav Huner explains beautifully. And he says, the Birchos of Kriya Shema are the Torah Shebal Peh. The Gemara comes and formulates the Birchos Kriya Shema before and after. And as we said, the Shema itself is the Torah Shebichsav. He says, the Birchos Kriya Shema, Rav Huner explains, is the Kriya Shema Shel Torah Shebal Peh. The Kocha Shel Torah Shebal Peh Yunaku Mikabalot Doros. That the Torah Shebal Peh is that which is transmitted from generation to generation to generation to generation. If you don't believe in Torah Shebal Peh, if you don't believe in that Mesorah, in the transmission of Moshe Rabbeinu giving it to Yehoshua, who gave it to the Skenim, to the Nevi'im, to the Anshei Knesset Agdola, and then they giving it to the Zugos and so forth and so on to the Skenim. If you don't believe in that transmission, in the Torah Shebal Peh, then the Torah Shebichsav is for naught. Because there's no continuity. If all a person believes in is the Torah Shebichzav, that's not Aleinu v'al bonenu v'al dorasenu v'al kol dora zerer Yisrael avdecha. If you only believe in the Torah Shebichzav, in the written Torah is for one generation. The Torah Shebichzav can get lost. If it's written in a book, books become obsolete. And there are always new additions. And there are always subtractions. And people feel that there's a new way to print. It's impossible to transmit the Torah Shebichzav in its most authentic way. And we see the New Testament, the Old Testament. But when it's transmitted, when there's a Mesorah, when there's a Torah Shebal Peh, it ensures survival, continuity, perpetuity. And if you don't have the Torah Shebal Peh, then you don't have the Torah Shebichsav, because having it doesn't just mean for one generation. If a father contains his Torah and doesn't pass it along to his child, so then there's no Torah for that generation either. The idea of Torah is that it's meant to be transmitted to the next generation. The Torah that we learn, it has to be a sweet Torah. It has to be a beautiful Torah. It has to be v'harevna. It has to be so sweet and so beautiful that it's desired by the next generation. Because if not, if the Torah remains only in our generation, then there will never be Jewish continuity. The Torah not only is meant for Yediyas HaTorah, for the knowledge of Torah, but it's meant as well for the Segulas HaTorah, the virtues of Torah. It's meant to ensure that Yidden, that the Jews, will forever continue. It's an amazing thing. Rabbi Aaron says brilliantly, We have been kicked out of our homeland for thousands of years. And yet, we've remained the same Am Yisrael. How is that possible? Usually, a person and a people are able to remain biyachad, as one, because they live together. They have common laws. They live in the same neighborhood. They send their kids to the same schools. But Am Yisrael has been wandering. We've been in so many different places, in so many different communities. And yet we've remained, and we've endured, and we've thrived, and we've survived, and we've continued. And it's only gotten stronger. Torah in Galus has only gotten stronger. There has never been as much Torah being taught as what we have today. It's that Torah that has ensured the survival of Am Yisrael without even a homeland, without sharing the same schools and the same neighborhoods and the same communities and traveling and being kicked out and being persecuted, because we've had the Torah. We've learned the Torah Lishma. We've learned it even under the most trying times, under duress. We've never forsaken His Torah. And therefore, we have been zochet to the segulas haTorah, to the added element, the virtues of Torah, besides the yediyas haTorah. So we